I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. What's happening? What's happening? Amen. Hey, I miss y'all too. I get to say hello to East County. What's up, East County? Give them a hand. What's happening? Oh, so good to be back. So good to be back. Does it seem like a long time? How many say it doesn't seem like a long time? Oh. It seems like I just left. First, let me say hello. It's great to be back. How many of you are here for the first time? First time. God bless y'all. And how many of y'all are here for the first time that I'm the first time you've seen me here? God bless y'all. God bless y'all. So my name is Miles McPherson. I'm the pastor of the Rock. How y'all doing? What's happening? What's happening? I am so nervous. Estoy muy nervioso. I'm nervous. Did y'all see Rush Hour with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker? At the end when they did the bloopers, Jackie Chan said, I'm nervous. Every time I say Madison Square Garden, I'm nervous. So I guess you didn't see it. Listen, I don't even know what to say. Thank you. I love y'all too. Kamusta ka? Kamusta ka? Mabuti. Kamusta ka is how are you in Tagalog, and mabuti is I'm doing fine. It's like I lost weight. I heard you had a great summer, and I know you had great speakers and great music and all kind of stuff like that. Amen. And this summer, we had over 1,000 more people at altar calls than last summer. Attendance and giving were up. Everything was very solid. Our staff did a great job of organizing that. Because when you have a different speaker, and you have to do a lot of arrangements and accommodations and getting them here, taking care of them, and kind of catering, serving them what they're used to, and then also the musical artists as well. Kind of acclimating them to who we are, and our staff did an amazing job of making sure you guys were fed every week and had a great service. Everything was smooth, 5 services a week, and North County, and opening up East County. So I want you to give a big round of applause to the staff and the volunteers as well. Amen. Many things we all learned during this time off, but I think if one of them is that this church is about one person, that person is Jesus, nobody else, and we're here to serve him, amen? And so it was a very good opportunity for us to all learn that, and I'm very excited to be back. I'm trying to think what I'm supposed to be saying right now. Anyway, I'm excited to be back. I'm ready to get ready, rocking and rolling. Hopefully, y'all are getting ready, rocking and rolling. And hopefully, God spoke to you this summer about something. You know, whatever he needed to talk to you about, because God is so powerful. I'm going to talk today about what he's been saying to me over the summer. But I hope that he has spoken to you, and that as we get into the fall, that he will be very clear to you about who he wants you to be, what he wants you to be. And I hope me being gone was a different experience for you, and in that experience, you learned something about yourself as well. Because when I left, right before I left, I had a meeting with our staff, and I said, I want you to document one thing that's better, that's going to be better when I'm gone. So in other words, when I'm gone, I think, man, this is better that Miles is not here. I told him that because, you know, I just knew, and I told him, here's one of them. Here's what one of them is going to be. It's going to be less chaos. So I said, you know, I want you to notice that, because when I come back, I'm going to hear that, and then I'm also going to bring back what was better in my life, and we're going to come back and be different together. And so I hope that, you know, this summer, me not being here was an opportunity for you to realize something, or whatever that was, because we can get in a pattern of being together all the time, every week, and, you know, we get used to it. I was at a church over the over my sabbatical, I think I went to spoke at one church. I had pre-scheduled. It was the first Sunday gone. And the pastor said in front of his congregation, "So Miles, so you've been at your church 13 years and you've taken 3 months off as a sabbatical." I said, "Yep." And your board supports it, yep. And your church supports it, yep. And he says, and so he looked at his congregation and says, "How long can I take off?" And they weren't giving him any time. I wanted to stand up and say, for all the time he's been in his church, is a lot longer old than our church. Y'all need to give this guy 6 months, a year off. But we never want to get so dependent on people. We want to only get dependent on Jesus because our time is short. And, you know, the only thing that's totally dependable is Jesus. That's the only thing we can truly, truly depend on. Amen? Amen. Amen. So see your Bibles. North County, East County, Point Loma, say word. Word. Very good. Let's see your, no pen. No lesson plan. Oh, you can take out your lesson plan. May God, hopefully God's going to challenge you. I don't have any notes for you, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Look at all the peoples. Lord, thank you so much for the sound of Bible pages turning, and thank you so much for your faithfulness, and thank you so much for being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we praise you, and I pray you challenge us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 12, 22. It says, "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. He healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the son of David?' When the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.'" So God, Jesus saw this man. He cast the demon out, and the guy spoke, and then he saw. This is not at all to imply that if you are blind or mute or deaf or whatever, that it's because of a demon at all. This particular situation, that's what happened. That's it. Okay? Then it says, verse 25, "Jesus knew their thoughts and said, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." My number one goal in life, per the Bible, is not to build a church, a great church for the Lord. My number one purpose in life is to be a good Christian. That when I go to bed at night, when I face God, when I die, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Being the pastor of this church is part of that, but that's not it. Matter of fact, when you go to bed at night, and every day you go to bed at night, just like the day you die, you are going to hear someone say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's either going to be the devil or God. When you go to bed at night, you may not hear it, but someone's saying, "Great job. Either you walk with me faithfully, or you did a great job of deceiving people to make people think you are faithful to God." So when I die, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm not going to stand before him as the pastor of the Rock Church. I'm going to stand before him as his son. And so as last year, the reason we decided to take a sabbatical, because I wasn't really feeling great, satisfied, I should say, with how my life was progressing. I was on a treadmill in early this year, and the treadmill that I was on, I was in a hotel, wasn't working right. And it was at a hotel, so there was a bunch of treadmills. And I kept getting frustrated because this treadmill wouldn't go to speed I wanted, and then it would stop, and it kept messing up. And I had to get off that treadmill and get on another treadmill. My life was on a treadmill I did not want to be on. It was going to speed I didn't want it to go, and it was going a direction I didn't want it to go. And I had to, at some point, get off the treadmill. And the treadmill was just busy ministry stuff, constant going, 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 going. And it's not that it was constant, it was how it was happening. I wasn't satisfied with how I was leading. I wasn't satisfied with how I was parenting, how I was being a, a husband, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, Lord, I got to get off this treadmill and just have time to not rest, just to sit around and do nothing, but to get recharged and refocused and recalibrated, like when you get your spine adjusted. It's a chiropractor. Matter of fact, I got a massage a couple weeks ago, and they said, do you want a soft massage or a deep tissue massage? I said, give me a deep tissue. Homegirl was like that big. So she shook my hand, and she almost broke my hand. And she said, so you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready. And I said, what do you do? She said, well, I used to be a pole vaulter. And she was just like, I said, oh, this is going to be painful. She had an elbow like in my, like all the way through my body. But I could feel these knots. She would be, it was smooth, then it would go blub, blub. I said, oh, you got knots in my leg and my back. And you know, you just live with it. You don't know it. I wanted to get off this treadmill. I wanted to get my life right for what God wanted me to have and not be distracted by the appearance of a lot of great things. And by the way, there's a lot of great things going on, no doubt. But you never want to get distracted by what you see, what people say in your ear, to what you hear from God. And so I said, Lord, I want to get off this treadmill, and I'm going to take 3 months off. And even at the staff, we said, if you get halfway through and you want to go longer, just let us know. I said, okay, I will, but I think 3 months will be fine. 2 days before I started, something happened. May 30th. The sabbatical started June 1st. May 30th, I was standing in my house here in San Diego, 70 degrees outside, 70-ish inside. And I'm talking to a guy named Marcus Preciado who works here, just in case you want to verify the story. And as I'm talking to him, again, it's 70-something degrees, it's May 30th, 2013. You might want to check the weather. And I see this white smoke come out of my mouth. Now, I grew up in New York, and I understand white smoke comes out of your mouth when it's cold. And in New York, we have what we call the hawk. Any East Coasters know what the hawk is? Y'all know the hawk. Y'all know the hawk is a bird flying around. The hawk in the East Coast, if you say the hawk is out, you don't look for a bird. That means it's really cold. Okay, whenever you hear, if you say the hawk is out, that means no matter what you put on, it's going to be cold. So I understand that when you're in the hawk and you exhale, white smoke comes out of your mouth. I'm in my house here in San Diego, May 30th, 2013. It's 70-something degrees or whatever it is, and white smoke is coming out of my mouth. And as I'm talking, I'm like, my brain is going, well, what's that? This thing should be not happening. You're in the house. You're not in the window. It's not cold. All this stuff is going through my mind at one time. And then as I'm talking, this brown ash came out of my mouth about this far. Now, I never had brown ash come out of my mouth. Even back in the day when I used to smoke weed, which I used to smoke weed. Oh, if you're a visitor, let me just get it out there. Weed, cocaine, oh yeah, everything. Okay. Just to get it out there. Just so you're not shocked. Like, oh, the honeys, all that, everything, okay? So I'm talking, and when white smoke comes out of your mouth in the winter, it's when you exhale. And then you talk. So I'm talking, and this stuff came out of my mouth on its own. It wasn't an exhale situation. Plus, it was like ash. It was like brown ash. You ever see the movie The Green Mile? It was something like that. Except I wasn't like, it wasn't like that. I was just talking, something just came out. And I'm looking at it, right, going, because I'm not doing that. I'm like, and it's coming out like on, So needless to say, I freaked out, and I said to Marcus, did you see that? He says, yeah, man, yeah. He started backing up. He said, you joking? Is that a trick? Did you put something in your mouth? I said, nah, man, I don't know what that was. He started looking in my office to see if I had a little magic trick or something. I said, no. You eat something? I said, no, man. I said, I don't know what that was. He said, you need to call your doctor, right? That's why I called my doctor. I said, Doc, this is what just happened. Let me explain it to you. I just want to just listen to the whole story. He says, there is no medical explanation. He said, I'm not even going to, I can't even guess. I couldn't even make something up. So I called my spiritual mentor and I said, look, what do you think about this? And he said, oh, yeah, that's spiritual. I read the story about the demon-possessed person not because I think I was demon-possessed. I don't believe a Christian can be demon-possessed. We're in a spiritual battle, and how that spiritual battle manifests itself, I have no idea. Well, there's ways I don't understand. But whatever this unclean thing came out of my mouth, it told me, God says, I'm preparing to cleanse you of something unclean. In 2 days, you're going to start. I'm going to purify some unclean in your life. So I had to get off the treadmill and say, God, what is it? And I don't know how you're going to do it. Don't know what it is. I want you to be thinking about your life. I want you to think about the fact that one, spiritual battles and the spiritual battle that we're all in is something we will never completely understand. And how it manifests itself is a lot of different ways. But we are all in spiritual attack 24/7. And you always want to be conscious not only of the attack, but that the attack is very intelligent and very systematic, that the devil is very smart and very organized and very patient. And you don't ever want to get in a rut where you just take for granted your life, because the devil will very gently and kindly steer you into self-destruction. And so that's where I was. I was like, God, you know, all this stuff is happening, but I know there's better. So I said, 3 months. So 21 days later, June 19th, I go up to a friend of mine who's a doctor up in Newport Beach, and he scans people's brains. And he's doing a lot of NFL brain scans for the lawsuit that just got settled to see their brains, so he can actually study the brain, because he actually does a thermal imaging of your physical brain and looks at the places where you have diminished activity. I've had 100-plus concussions in my life playing football. And to verify what that means is that I actually described to a neurosurgeon, which is one here in San Diego, who is one of the best in the country per a magazine on the airplane. So I'll be clarifying where I get this. I met him and you know, he told me what he did, and then my wife and I on an airplane, it talked about the best doctors in the country, and there his name was. So for whatever it's worth. And I said, what would you do? What would you call this? And I described to him. I hit my head. I see lights. Sometimes I can't see, and I hear thunder in my head. He said, oh, that's a concussion. I said, well, I've had 100 of those. Easy. So I go to the doctor, and the doctor in L.A., he wanted to scan my brain just because that's what he does, and I played in the NFL, and he wanted to see it. And so I go up there and answer a bunch of questions, and, you know, it was like hours and hours of testing, and then a brain scan, and then the results. And I come in his office, and he says, you have ADD. Now, I know some of you are laughing like, you didn't need him to tell you that? hopefully you didn't pay for that. I mean, I've got to tell you that. So he said, yeah, you have ADD. And I told my wife, because she said, what did the doctor say? He said, I have ADD. Oh, I knew that. I mean, my wife and I, about a year and a half ago, we were talking, and I started tweeting out because we were talking about me having ADD as a joke. Because, you know, we joke around people all the time. Oh, you have ADD, you have ADD. Without thinking, it is a real thing, and people really do have it, and it really can mess you up. So I was joking with my wife, because I didn't think I had ADD. I just thought that I was like to do a lot of stuff. So I'm not a drug addict. I just like to be high. I mean, I what's the problem? So I tweeted out, my wife thinks I have ADD. What do you think? And it started getting all, hey, duh, of course. Yeah, you have all the signs, just all this stuff. So I really even dismissed it. He said, you have ADD, June 19th, during the sabbatical. I said, And I told him when I went to him, I said, Doc, here's what I want to do with my life. Here's what I do now. And then he took the test, which described how I live. because the test asked you all these questions about what does your office look like and what do you do when this happens? Oh, just all the stuff. And I answered all the questions and I said, I want to do this with my life, but I don't think I'm getting there. So he comes in, I come in the office, he says, you have ADD, and I want to tell you that what you described to me, what you want to do, you can't get there with that brain. And he said, and it's something we all need to think about, you need to question your thoughts. Because your brain doesn't necessarily like you. What I mean by that is that your brain doesn't necessarily tell you things that are right, true, or kind. Your brain will lie to you. You will have thoughts that are wrong. Do you realize that? Your brain will drive you into the ground. It will depress you. It will lie to you. It will tell you what it thinks is true based on partial information, which ends up being a lie. It will cause you to say and do things that are wrong and get you in trouble. And some of our brains chronically do that, and we can't stop it. We assume our brain is true, and we just believe it because it's our brain, because it's the brain. You got to get off that treadmill. So he said, the brain you have is not going to serve you to get there. This is what will happen, and what he described to me is what has been happening. So you got to change your brain. Now, I'm not on Ritalin. I'm not on any medicine. He's going to help me naturally. I mean, if you want to get more information, it's the amenclinics.com. Amen, like amen, A-M-E-N, amen, 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 amen. So my new diet is 70% plant, vegetables, fruit, 30% protein, no dairy, no bread, no simple carbohydrates like pasta, no sugar, a lot of stuff I didn't eat anyway. But no pizza. No ice cream. Now, with that said, I said, Doc, look, I can't. I mean, pizza, ice cream. My life is over. So he said, look, you do this 90%. If you want to cheat here, so if you see me out, I'm telling you now, I'm just not going to do it like I was. I used to do it twice a week, so I got to do it, just cut it down to maybe one day a week, just have a little bit and a lot smaller portion. I used to eat like that much ice cream. But what he said was, your life has to change. And then one of his colleagues did my blood test and said, you're pre-diabetic. Your life has to change. I said, okay, God, I'm good. And that has been now, being ADD, there's a good and a bad. I'll go with the bad first. It has caused a lot of chaos in my life and everybody associated with it, staff, family, whatever. The good is that you got a lot of ideas and you can help a lot of people. So part of the result is this, and part of the result is this. And so the devil uses it to cause chaos, and God uses it to cause good. So, okay, you also have a personality, which is part of it. It's not all ADD. It's just a dysfunctional use of the personality. We got to get all that in control. That's why you got to get off the treadmill. God want to get the best of both worlds. You don't ever want to settle for what you have. Say, God, I want to make sure I'm listening to you. And I didn't create my own path of how I'm going to live, how I'm going to be a Christian. No, I got to be submitted to you all the time. Because the things I did last year, I can't do this year. They're just not acceptable anymore. Things I did 3 months ago, I can't do that anymore. It's a process. Well, a month later, I'll go to Costa Rica to learn Spanish, and Spanish is a lifelong process, and I'm an impatient person. So I go to Costa Rica, and I can't communicate with anybody. Hola. ¿Cómo estás? So my first two, I was there for 13 days at a campus for the Nazarene Church as a campus down there and right outside of San Jose, Costa Rica. And first 2 days, I couldn't understand anybody, and it was so frustrating. And God said, I want you to be patient. Mr. ADD, it's going to take time. I felt dumb. Couldn't speak. I'd be like, I would see little kids. So jealous. Give me that language right there. I gave myself an assignment when I was there that I was there for like almost 2 weeks. And the second Sunday was like 10 days into my trip. And I said, I'm going to share my testimony at the church Sunday in Spanish. That's my final exam that I'm imposing on myself as my challenge. And I got to do that. The pastor interviewed me. She asked me like 5 questions, and I would just answer the question. I would read notes and then talk. And but in that experience, God said, you need to learn. This is going to take the rest of your life, and I want you to take your time, and I want you just to accept the fact that you are going to mess up for the rest of your life. I mean, the language is a culture. And there's so much we understand about English that we don't even realize we know. We just learn from being here. But it was an amazing experience going down there. And I'm sharing my testimony. Voy a compartir mi testimonio del amor de Dios en mi vida. This, in 2 or 3 months right here in San Diego at a church, I'm going to share my testimony in Spanish to a Spanish service. So that was my... And I'm going to invite all y'all who want to come. I mean, if you don't speak Spanish, you're not going to understand anything because everything's going to be in Spanish. But I made the commitment a year ago, last October, to the pastor Sergio, who was here at the beginning of the summer. I said, Pastor Sergio, next October, it was last October, next October, I'm going to share my testimony in your church. And so that day's been on my calendar. But God said, you need to be patient. I'm going to transform your life. It's going to take the rest of your life, but you need to be patient. I come back from Costa Rica. I'm home one day. I go to see my parents, say hello to my mother and father. Then my wife and I go to Canada. And I get to Canada. I was there 4 hours or so. My father goes into a coma. We come home. We're in a plane 12 hours after we land. We're coming back. And we watched him die over the next 3 days. And he died August 12th. We had a funeral here. I want to thank the staff here who are serving our family. We've done so many funerals. It was our time to receive the blessing of the Rock Church on our family. The police department was very gracious to us. The San Diego PD did everything they could for us. They pulled out all the stops. They honored him. The police chief was here. Chief Lansdowne, who has become a great friend. We've done so many funerals together, and he spoke, and it was great. And, you know, when you watch someone die, a lot of things that go through your head, especially when it's your dad or your mom, you start thinking about your whole life and how this phase of your life is over. And I would call my friends up on the phone to tell them my dad died. And what hurt me so much about that was thinking about them as little kids and my father playing with them. A lot of my friends didn't have a dad. My dad was their dad. There was a guy now in my neighborhood named Lorenzo. He was dear to my heart. And he had no parents. He played football with me from the age of 10. And he ended up getting in trouble, going to jail. Yeah, his life was messed up, but his heart was this big. And every time he saw my dad, from when he was little all the way through high school, past high school, college, he would just light up like a little kid. And I remember one day my father and I were driving through the neighborhood, and he was on the corner, you know, high, smoking, whatever. He puts a cigarette in the beer behind his back. And he's like 25. He's, hey, Mr. McPherson. It was like, you know, that moment, he never told me this, but that moment, my dad. And so when my dad died, my life changed again. And God says, and that was like 3 weeks ago. He said, okay, so now you're going to finish out the sabbatical time, and I'm going to this is serious business. Your life is passing you by. Don't get back on that treadmill. You know, when your family dies, you don't care about anything else. You don't care. It's like, and he was right here, you know, 3 weeks ago. I want to challenge you that your life is going to be over. And God says, I want to bless you. I want to walk with you. I want to be part of your life. I want better for you. Better for you. But you have to surrender to me. You don't necessarily think I need 3 months off, because my surrender is not over. I just happen to be back here. But I'm not going to do this the same as I did. I can't. And I want to challenge you to make a decision to get off whatever treadmill you're on. Because the devil's treadmill is very subtle. You know, drugs has always been a big problem in the U.S. One of the gateway drugs or the introductory drugs is cigarettes. A lot of people smoke cigarettes. And not everybody who smokes cigarettes goes into drugs. But cigarettes is labeled a gateway drug. What does that mean? It's the first step. And the devil will use a whole bunch of things. Just get you a little bit. Just get you. And next thing you know, God is way over there. He's way over there. He just very subtly. You have to every day make a conscious effort. I'm in ministry. I'm full-time ministry. I'm in the church. And still, I had to get off the treadmill. Say, Lord, I want to be right where you want me to be. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. So in a minute, we're going to pray. East County, North County, online. Is that you would just think, is there something unclean in my spirit, in my perspective, in who I am that I want God to cleanse? Or am I good? I could tell you, nobody's good. You always, our flesh is our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. And it's going to tell you all day long, oh, you're good, you're good, you're good. You know, I was in Hawaii and I was looking at, they have red sand, black sand, white sand, beige sand. And the one thing that's common with all these different colors of sand is that it all comes from the same thing. It's a crushed rock. All of our sin looks a little different, but it comes from one place, a prideful heart. So God, take my heart. I'm going to get off the treadmill and do with me whatever you want. That's what I want to encourage, the attitude I want to encourage you to have. So right now I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes and just listen very carefully. Lord, we never want to associate bad with evil wickedness all the time. Sometimes we could be very subtly disobedient, very subtly prideful, very subtly wicked and selfish. Lord, I pray that we would just be able to surrender our hearts to you, and that there'd be people here in East County, in North County, right here in Point Loma, who are ready to say, Lord, I want to get off the treadmill I'm on, and I want to really, really be who you want me to be. I want to love people like I'm supposed to love them. I want to lead like I'm supposed to lead. I want to encourage and use the gifts that I have the way you want me to do it, and I'll leave the rest to you. If you're ready to get off your treadmill and you're ready to surrender and take it a day at a time, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart, knowing that the Spirit of God is listening, you know, that the Spirit of God is going to respond to you and is already ready for you. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, please forgive me. Dear God, I surrender my life to you. I want to get off the treadmill. I want the Holy Spirit to fill my heart, guide my life. I want to take every thought captive and make it obedient thank you, God, for your love and your patience. Thank you for your persistence and your presence. Muchas gracias, Señor, por su amor, por su paciencia, por su presencia. Thank you for knowing who we are and loving us. I surrender, God, and I receive. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are resurrecting into a new life and walking away from your old treadmill, being cleansed from that uncleanness in your heart. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, wherever you are, North County, East County, online, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God's love in your life. Acknowledge your surrender. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 We see you in the balcony all over the room. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. 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 Many of you all over the room. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Do it because you want it. Do it because you know you need it. Do it because you anticipate God honoring your faith. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. Now I'm going to ask all y'all who are standing. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. So right now, if you're standing up, come up out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. 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 Hey, hey. How you doing?
So awesome to see you, man.
God bless you. 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 How are you? How are you? How are you? Amen. Amen. God bless you. 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 What's up? God bless you. Yes, sir. Move that. Move those glasses. God bless you. God bless you. See. God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you. 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 Amen. When I spoke at my father's funeral, I introduced myself not as the pastor of a church, but as his oldest son. And I said, you know, I'm not here as the pastor of the church. I'm here as his son. When you stand before God, you're not going to bring with you a title. You're not going to bring with you your accomplishments. You're just going to be his son or his daughter. That's it. If that's what you're going to be in heaven, that's all you're going to be here. You're just a child of the King. And every single day, you just got to live up to that. And you're going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Will the world remind you of those mistakes? Absolutely. That's fine. Just deal with it. And you apologize when you apologize, you repent, and you say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want to do. And if you could live that way every day, you'll be the most blessed you can be. And that's the only thing you can do. You know, I'm going to Africa later on this month, and I had to get shots, vaccination, bunch of stuff. And what they do is they put like, let's say polio, they put a little polio in you so your body can create a protein to fight polio. And that protein will stay in your body 10 years, 15 years, sometimes a life, depending on what disease is. It's called an antibody. But basically, they're giving you the disease so your body can understand what it is, understand it's bad, and then create a protein to fight it. And so the rest of your life, or however long, you can fight it. It's called an antibody. The only way you're going to create a spiritual antibody to help you deal with disappointment, embarrassment, or whatever, is that God's going to put you through fire. And then you learn how to deal with it. And your whole life, you're going to be going through ups and downs. It's not about, oh, I messed up, so I'm disqualified. No, it's how you respond. And so I just want to encourage you, every day just walk with God. Be faithful. Get people around you to help you walk with God. And your life's going to do this. That's what is going to happen. You're going to do that. You know, it's like me learning Spanish. Sometimes I listen to the radio every day, and sometimes I have no idea what they're saying, and it's so frustrating. And then other days, I'm I got it. And then I turn another station, and I'm like, blah, 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 and I'm like, yay. Okay, I'm not listening to the Puerto Rican station anymore. They're too fast. Because Puerto Rican Spanish, woo, is like 90,000 miles an hour. Mexican Spanish is the smoothest. It's like, it's like a song, but it's a process, a little bit at a time. And so I just want to encourage all of you. God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you're supposed to be doing. He knows exactly how he wants to love you. Just let him do it. And just be faithful with today. Just be faithful with today. Amen? We're going to pray for them, and then we're going to cheer them all the way into a little tiny room over there, and then Pastor Mickey's going to pray for y'all before you go. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you for what you're doing in North County right now, what you're doing in East County, what you're doing online, what you're doing all around San Diego. And we pray we can be faithful. We pray we can be faithful. And we can be a blessing. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take a right turn and walk this way. Let's give them hands and go out. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome.